Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off. Hello, listeners. Are you ready to spring into making healthy choices? Like actually going to the gym, not just putting on the gym shoes? Well, I am. And I have also been making the healthy choice to cut back on alcoholic beverages during the week. Recess mocktails make it so easy to do. These zero-proof craft mocktails are the replacement that allows you to enjoy the ritual of pouring yourself a fabulous drink at only 25 calories or less. Have that friend that alcohol tends to make a little extra chatty? Offer them a recess mocktail at your next get-together. Be a crowd pleaser. Everyone enjoys a recess lime margarita. It's the perfect guilt-free drink in between drinks. Our listeners can enjoy 15% off at takearecess.com/clink. So you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. That's takearecess.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
In the house.
In the hizzy.
Up in here.
July edition.
Yeah, it is. We are recording this on the 5th of July a little early because we got to get out of this hizzy.
Because we're trying to go on vacation and we don't want to leave you guys hanging.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We'd be like that. Actually, Gretchen, I don't think there has been in over 2 years. We've been doing this for 2 years now. We've never skipped a week.
Right.
Have we?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Consistent like having children. AF.
You yeah. don't get a vacation.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
Some people take vacations.
I could use a vacation. But I need a vacation from vacations. That's what I need.
No, you have. Oh, yeah. Okay. I need a vacation because I haven't gone on one in a while.
Yeah. This weekend, we did the 4th of July. The 4th of July in Dana Point Harbor is bananas. It is like this giant water fight. And I did not know.
Is it warm enough for a water fight?
Oh, no. It's cold. So
last year,
we went through the harbor and we didn't know about the water fight. I think it's just like locals know about it. They don't like advertise it or anything. Okay.
Right.
So we went through it and just got annihilated. So this year,
my friends that were visiting thought I was real silly. I was like, here, you're going to want this rain jacket. And I was like, and by the way, that straw hat you're wearing, you're going to want to put that in a plastic bag because it's going to get ruined, right? You know?
Uh-huh.
And so they, I think they were like a little like, oh, overkill. Listen, I was like, say it, bitch. That was a rain jacket was a good call, right? So all these people, but everyone was still hating on me. It was that kind of weekend because I bought like the real cheap super soakers from Amazon.
Yeah. They didn't work.
People come to play in the harbor. They had these like a lot bigger super soakers.
Dude, and they just like blast you. I would hate that. That's not my jam.
They really, really, I got blasted in the face a lot.
Don't like that.
It's never fun.
It's like the kid that splashes you all the time or is like kicking in front of your face and you're like, don't do that.
Don't do that. Well, you just go, you can only stay in the water fightness for as long as you can handle it. Then you can just, you know, keep going.
Move on.
But the kids love it. The kids love it so much. You know, kids love
to
be splashing.
You can see. The podcast is like our kid. We make the sacrifice and you made the sacrifice to go in and get your face blasted off.
So it was like,
the super soaker.
Gretchen, you bought us the wrong drinks. Gretchen, you didn't get us good enough water guns. I was like, okay, then. Sorry.
You're like, next year, we're coming to your house.
Yeah.
I can handle that. You could come here next year. It is so fun. Let me tell you. I mean, you guys all know, like, the Texans they are America, right? It's like America over here.
Yeah.
So they've got the fireworks, bonanza. They have fireworks on the 3rd and the 4th, and it's fun. It's fun. And people dress like USA everywhere.
USA all day.
Awesome. I need to up my gear.
Oh, I have a red, white, and blue situation.
You do?
Oh, like, yeah. Okay. I have the skirt that I wear every year on 4th of July. Red, white, and blue. It's real cute.
I had a blue top with like white stars. Really cute. I bought it for this year. But I need something on the bottom. I saw this girl. She had these really fun, like kind of balloon pants. You know, those like comfy ones? Look like they were kind of silk or satiny. Blue with big white stars. I was like, those are perfect. Those are like, they feel like pajamas. You can wear them all night. You don't get mosquito bites. All of it.
Oh, that is perfect. They wouldn't stand a chance in the water fight, though. Tell you what. Listen, I'm doing this water fight again next year. And all those assholes that were on my boat are coming back with me. We're going to do a do-over. They're going to bring their own damn drinks. And I'm going to arm us with the best damn water guns they sell.
Oh, my God.
Everyone can quit their bitching. Right?
Okay, fine. Have them bring... Okay, they'll bring the drinks. You bring the water guns.
Right.
My uncle used to make them out of like PVC pipes and like got real good ones for Havasu because it's kind of like that there too.
I imagine it's Havasu-esque.
Which we're not going to this year.
I know. That's so weird because that is your jam.
It's a little weird. This is going to be the first year in a very long time that we don't go. And I think both my husband and I are like, does it feel real weird not to do it? It does. And as the summer keeps going, it does. And we were like, can we do it? But we don't have a boat there. So it's like, yeah, we could go, but our boat's here.
Your boat's there. You got a lot of nice
and we've been using a lot of it
and stuff. And it's nice not to be too far from home, right? Things could be worse. We certainly have it pretty good.
Dude, real good. I am very thankful. So anything else before our vacation? I need a pack, dude. You know how that packing have you done it? Are you done packing?
I haven't started. And my husband just called me and it's like, I'm on my way home. And I'm like, oh shit, he's going to realize I didn't do shit all day.
And you're podcasting right now. It's like perfect storm.
He's going to be like, what the hell? You're just like, I never am that lazy, but I totally was today.
Yeah, today.
And so he's going to be like, I'm still in the clothes that I slept in. I haven't even taken a shower.
Oh my
gosh. This is my,
hair from yesterday.
Hair from yesterday. after I got blasted with harbor water hair. Oh, it's like that. And he's going to come home and be like, you're such a loser.
You are so gross.
I am.
Anyhow, let's talk about crime. Crime. Unless you have anything else to tell me about your lovely self.
Oh, I think I'm done.
Okay. Tell me your story.
Okay. Today's case is brought to us by listener Hannah Wilkerson.
Oh, thanks, Hannah.
Yeah, and it is out of your home state. Tab, giddy up, because I'm going to tell you about Susan Wright of Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Okay.
Houston.
Houston. I think there's a Houston. There's like a Houston. There's like a Houston-Dallas rivalry. Correct or not correct?
I don't know.
I heard it's a thing.
I'm not in it. I think that Dallas is better, but I haven't been to Houston.
So, maybe so you don't know. Yeah.
All I know is that Houston's weather is a lot more humid.
Yeah, I think that's part of the rivalry is that I hear that Houston people disagree. They say, no, they're not. I mean, Houstonians, tell us.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nice areas in Houston.
Yeah, okay.
My friend Nina lives in Houston.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nina lives there. Okay.
And her beautiful baby.
The most beautiful baby.
So I'm going to make myself down to Houston one day.
Yeah, one of these days.
And my friend Amber, she loves Houston the most out of any place in Texas, and she's been to many more places than me.
Okay. So. She's got good taste. So I think we should give Houston a try.
That.
There's that. Okay. This case is pretty unique because I find myself typically being about 100% sure most of the time that I know what a fitting sentence should be for the guilty party.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I'd be an excellent judge. But in this case, it kind of gave me some pause. So I can't wait to hear what you think about the circumstances.
Okay.
Okay. So Susan met her husband, Jeff, when she was 20 and he was 28. On a weekend trip down to the Texas beach town of Galveston. That's like the fun Texas beach town, right?
I'm going there.
I bet you are.
So I'm going to, I am.
Yeah.
Going there in August. So I'll let you know all about it.
Okay. So, yeah, I think it's the place to go. So Susan is this petite blonde bombshell, and Jeff was the tall, dark, and handsome type. Okay, so the two fell in love, and they were a hot couple, both good looking and just fun. Jeff was known to have a little extra fun. Actually, his friends say he dabbled in the cocaine and liked to drink and party for days on end. Like, I believe they call that a bender.
Uh-huh. Those typically don't end well.
It's a situation. Am I on a bender? This is my third day in a row.
You did.
I've only had one truly. I've only had one truly pop today.
I mean, if that's considered a bender, I was on a bender for the first full year of COVID.
Oh, totally.
I never stopped. Right? So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jeff's bender behavior kind of changed when he met Susan, which was a good thing, right? They thought he was growing up and just settling down a bit. He really didn't have a choice about the growing up and settling down for reals when after a few months of him and Susan dating, she found herself with child, knocked up.
Okay.
Baby in the belly. So Jeff loved Susan, but at the same time, it took him a minute to propose to his pregnant girlfriend. He waited until she was 8 months along to pop the question. But 2 weeks after he did, the couple had a small service and then headed to our favorite steakhouse for their wedding night.
They went to Outback.
They did. They went to Outback Steakhouse.
That is fancy.
So romantic, right?
Did they get the Bloomin' Onion?
I think you have to.
Cheese fries. I would get the whole
grilled shrimp
shebang.
On the Barbie.
Yeah.
So good, right? Okay. Being a wife and a mother was Susan's jam. She was all about, you know, keeping a clean house, keeping Jeff happy. And Jeff was doing well selling flooring at his job. And so the two bought themselves a house and popped out another baby. Now, let me tell you, they were doing so well, they even were about to put a fountain in their backyard. Water features be bougie. When you've got a fountain, you've made it, right? I think we all can agree on that.
Listen, a fountain is one of those things that it's like the fountain, it's so extra, right?
Oh, I've They're never expensive had a fountain.
And you don't really need them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You had a very pretty fountain at your last house.
I did.
Yeah.
Have a really great fountain. I'll just tell you, it's a bitch to clean.
It's a bitch. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, so everything from the outside looking in seemed to be going well for this cute little family. But it wasn't, according to Susan. Susan says Jeff was abusive and had been for years, especially after he'd gone back to using the cocaine. He was still using it, you know, just like recreationally when he got the chance. And doesn't sound like he was a fun cokehead. It was like aggro. Okay.
Yikes.
So she also says that he tracked her whereabouts constantly, which was ironic because he was the one that was the big old cheater. He had actually brought her home the herpes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So Susan's claims of abuse are questioned a lot because she never called the police or sought medical attention as a result. And so there was no documented record of abuse between her and Jeff. That is until 2 days after Susan brutally killed Jeff.
Whoa.
Yep. You heard me. Susan killed the shit out of Jeff. She stabbed him 193 times.
Whoa. First of all, I thought you were going to say that Jeff, I thought it was going to be the other way around. And how do you, that's like overkill?
That's it, the definition, I believe. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So according to Susan, Jeff came home from a boxing lesson and appeared to be under the influence. Side note. Trace amounts of drugs were found in Jeff's system, by the way. So that is accurate. Okay. So according to Susan, Jeff was playing around with their four-year-old son and taking it too far, calling him a sissy, and it escalated to Jeff hitting the four-year-old.
Oh.
Susan says she confronted Jeff about, you know, his using drugs and his abuse, and that she wouldn't stand for it when it came to her children, and that she would leave if he didn't change. And this enraged him. She says he beat her, dragged her to the bed, raped her, and then held a knife over her, and she heard him say, "Die, bitch." So she kicked him in the groin, and then was able to wrestle the knife out of his hand and stab him. And once she started stabbing, she could not stop herself. Except for when her young son knocked on the door, and then she managed to grab some neckties and tied Jeff onto the bed and then put her son back to bed. Then she went to the kitchen, grabbed a fresh knife, and then continued to stab Jeff some more. And and when she was sure he was dead, she tied him to a dolly and dumped him in the hole in the backyard that was conveniently there for the fountain they were about to put in.
Oh, shit.
That's a lot, right?
That's a lot. Okay, so.
Yeah, okay.
Whoa.
It's a lot. And I didn't even tell you about how the part about how she stabbed him in the eyeball, the skull, or the penis. So there's some problems with Susan's story. For one, it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around 120-pound Susan overpowering 220-pound, 6'3", Jeff with a knife if it all happened the way that she says it did?
Yes.
Okay.
Like it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. So more problems surrounding Susan's claims are due to her bizarre behavior after she killed him. So instead of calling the police, she attempted to clean the scene, throwing the mattress in the yard and cutting out a big hole in the carpet and using bleach to clean it all up. She also emptied the couple's bank account and she changed their outgoing message to say, like, it used to say, like, hey, this is the, you know, Wright family, Jeff, Susan. Now it's just Susan. She took his name off the outgoing message.
Susan.
No must, Jeff.
Susan.
Yeah. And then she filed a report of abuse against Jeff with the police, who then filed a warrant for his arrest. And then she told people that's why Jeff left home. Yeah, that's why he went missing and she didn't know where she was.
Where he was, yeah.
Okay.
It's
tough. Okay, so that doesn't really
support...
Susan
not the brightest crayon in the box?
I think Susan is... I mean, I'll get into it more, but, you know, I think she was out of her mind. I think she was an abused woman, but I don't think she told the truth about how it happened.
So you do think she was abused. Were there... I mean, you might get into it, but were there people that she told, like her friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the problem is, though, that her actions in the following days doesn't really support the action of a woman who is claiming self-defense, you know?
Right.
But in Susan's defense, her sister does say Jeff was abusive, and she points to a big dent in a wall in their home that she says Susan had showed her because it was where Jeff had shoved her into the wall. She also says she saw Susan with a black eye, and there are friends that corroborate the black eye incident, you know, as well.
Mm-hmm.
There is also another woman that has come to Susan's defense. She was actually engaged to Jeff previously, and she says, oh, yeah, Jeff was abusive, all right. And this woman actually filed a police report after there was an incident between her and him at an Austin bar. Jeff threw a bottle at her face, breaking it, and a piece of glass from that is still in her chin.
Yikes.
Yeah. So yeah. Jeff's dad says Jeff wasn't capable of being abusive. And
Jeff's dad says he wasn't capable of being abusive. Guess what? You know what? I know people that are abusive and have been abusive.
Yeah.
And sometimes you would think the nicest people in the world would never do that. But they, you know, what goes on behind closed doors?
Right. And hello. I mean, there's a police report. And his dad was interviewed and they asked him, well, how do you explain this? You know, your son was arrested for throwing a glass bottle in a woman's face. He says, all I can say about that is that woman had the hots for Jeff for years after they broke up. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, he's one of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we know time it is with him. He's one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of those.
Yeah. He's in denial of his son's
character.
Okay. So there's two very differing depictions of Jeff Wright happening. You know, what are you going to do? Okay. So 5 days after Susan wheeled Jeff into the fountain hole in the yard, she was faced with her dog continuously digging him up.
Okay.
And that's a problem. And I imagine also the reality of what she had done was too much to bear. And so she confessed to her mama what she had done. Her mother acted as a good mother would. And she immediately hired her daughter a lawyer who then notified the police there was a dead body at the Wright residence. And his client was willing to confess, but she's at a mental hospital at the moment. Mental hospital is definitely a good pit stop on your way to the clink.
Because, yeah.
Right? I mean, they can't arrest you when you're there. So it gives your family some time to figure out, you know, bail money, all of that stuff that they're going to do for you before you do inevitably get arrested, right? So less time in the pokey. So I think it was a good call. Good lawyer, right? So Susan was also treated by a battered woman expert while she was there. And, you know, so that's great, right? She needs it.
Yeah.
So after a week, Susan left the hospital and was charged with Jeff's murder, and she pled not guilty.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences. And then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com.
The trial for this case is where things really get bananas. The prosecutor for this case was none other than a young Kelly Siegler.
Oh, no way.
Okay, we have talked about my Lady Blast crush on Kelly Siegler before. If you're not familiar with her show called Justice, I think it's on ID and Oxygen or one or the other. I mean, she's the ultimate lady boss, right?
She is.
When Kelly is on the case, she goes in hard. And the case against Susan was no exception. Kelly painted quite a different version of what happened to Jeff at the hands of Susan on the night in question. And she does make a hell of a case. So Kelly pointed out, obviously, this business about Susan overpowering him and stabbing him 193 times, only breaking to put her little boy to bed. And the point where she tied him up is bonk. Because so Susan is saying she was stabbing, he wasn't tied up, but then she tied him up when she had to put the little boy to bed. Just to be clear on that. Okay. So I'm with Kelly. Like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. Okay. So what Kelly did was present the scenario that Jeff was not perfect, but she says Susan's abuse claims are grossly exaggerated. And Susan wanted to get her hands on Jeff's $200,000 life insurance policy. She says Jeff was tied up to the bed because Susan had seduced him into putting himself in that position. She points to the fact that there was red candle wax found on his body from a candle in the bedroom. So like it was just another night of them getting their freak on when Susan used Jeff's vulnerability against him to start stabbing him. That does kind of make sense.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes more sense than her overpowering him with the kick in the nuts. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Okay, but some of it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't think if Susan was plotting to kill Jeff, I think she would have had more of a plan for after he was dead than throw him in the fountain hole. I mean, she was kind of floundering for 5 days after he was dead. I think usually when people like plot to kill someone, they make some like rehearsed 911 call. Like how many times have we listened to that? You know, they say it was an intruder or like something like that.
Maybe she saw the hole and was like, this might be a good time. Maybe they'll pour some concrete over that, put the fountain there. We'll never find him.
Maybe. Okay.
I mean, when was the fountain going in? Was it the next day?
I don't know. It was a DIY project. Actually, he was going to do it. So, I mean, I don't. So
maybe she was like,
I just
pour the concrete.
I don't think she plotted to. I don't think she was plotting. Kelly also said there was no evidence of abuse. But I mean, I take that with a grain of salt because.
Yeah.
There was no documented reports. Right. But she was definitely abused by this man. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't, whatever.
I think there is a point where you either leave or you snap.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so much abuse you could take verbally or physical abuse until, I mean, you either turn into like a shell of a person.
Right.
And become numb.
Right.
You snap and want to. You know, kill the person.
Or you get killed because the most dangerous point in time in a abused woman's life is when they leave.
Yeah, I know. That is the scary
part. That's the scary part. Yeah. Okay.
I had a friend that was in an abusive relationship and it was scary for her to leave, but it was like, you have to do it at the right time because you need to protect yourself above all and your children. And I mean, we've seen a lot in just this year. I think because it's been so stressful with COVID that a lot of people have snapped on their spouses.
Yeah.
And their families. Yeah. Right. And like daily you see something.
Okay. Well, Susan took the stand and defended herself against Kelly's claims that she had seduced Jeff that night, saying that her and Jeff just didn't roll like that. They didn't play, you know, tie me up games. Okay. I mean, I think the strong point of Kelly's argument is the whole candle wax thing. Like, why was there candle wax on him? They were getting their freak on.
How much candle wax was there?
It was around like his groin area and his chest. So, I mean, enough, right?
That's weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
So she's...
Was she like, I wanted to burn his ass too? I don't know. Like, was she so mad where it's like she... I don't know.
No, I think it was just sex play and she didn't really have an explanation for why the candle wax was there. And she says, Kelly says to her, like, oh, really? Because it looks like you worked as a topless dancer for 8 weeks. So I'm pretty sure you know how to get your seductress on. I mean, it's like really.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, okay. That for the record was a little judgy of Kelly. And I mean, it's quite the stretch, right? To bring up that for 8 weeks, she worked as a topless dancer 2 years before she met Jeff. Like, I mean, that is some like shaming, lame, like, and because she worked as a topless dancer, she's like, you know, I don't like that.
That she likes to tie people up. I mean, that doesn't have anything to do
with
it.
Yeah, what does one have with the other? Okay.
I mean, maybe it just makes you a little bit more free with your body.
Yeah, I don't like that Kelly did that. But I also get that it's a murder trial and that's how the game is played.
Yeah.
Right? Things get dirty, right? So as the trial went on, Kelly didn't stop bringing up Susan's past and glossing over Jeff's. She brought the couple's actual bed into the courtroom. So she brings the bed in the courtroom. She ties up a gentleman with neckties to the actual bed and had him demonstrate how he was completely helpless while he was tied up, while Kelly got on top of him and straddled him while acting out what the stabbings would have looked like. Can you imagine? It was next level for sure.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it certainly painted a very vivid picture in the jury's mind.
She's got some balls, man.
Dude,
I mean,
she's got some balls. Yeah, she does. I watched an episode of Cold Justice where she was talking to a police officer and she's like, you didn't want to pursue that any further because he's in the hospital with his, you know, sick dad. And the police officer is like, no, I didn't. She's like, you don't want them to think you're a bitch. And she's like, yeah. And Kelly's like, well, I am. I don't care. And it's like, well, that's why she's good at what she does. Right.
Yeah.
But again, I don't agree with Kelly's choices in shaming Susan for this, but you know, whatever. Okay. So Kelly's very vivid picture, along with the forensic testimony, is pretty intense. The first knife Susan used had its tip broken off in Jeff's skull. And so that's why she switched knives, because it broke. Also, a lot of the wounds Jeff suffered were like superficial, like she was just slashing him for fun. Like there were several superficial slashes to his penis. She's torturing him. So,
but do you think she was torturing him when he was alive, or do you think she was torturing him when he was like?
Oh, no, she tortured him when he was alive. Like they showed that she stabbed him in the eyeball while he was still alive. He died from bleeding out. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. So it's a real awful. I mean, she had to have just snapped.
It's complicated, right? Yeah. So it makes me think, that's what I told you in the beginning. This gave me some pause because it makes me think that this is more likely the act of an abused woman experiencing like some kind of built up blind rage.
Yeah.
Which is understandable, but it's not self-defense.
No.
Right?
I mean, it's crazy. You went cuckoo bananas to the next level. And you're like, you've done this to me for so long. Let me show you a little taste of your medicine to the point where you're going to be done.
Right.
That's the only thing I can think why you would do that. Like she must have just had it.
I think she should have just pled insanity from the get or something. Okay. But instead, her defense included witnesses that testified that Jeff was a dick and he had a temper. He had affairs, used drugs, and he even abused dogs. Mm. Lovely.
Listen, I think he was not a great person and he wasn't great to her. I think you're right.
No.
But it doesn't really give her the right to.
Yeah.
You know what I tell my children, like two wrongs don't make a right. You can't have revenge on each other. If you hit somebody gets hit, do not hit back. We need to discuss this.
For sure. So the expert who could have helped Susan's case that treated her when she was at the mental hospital was not called to the stand by her lawyers. And that's because she told him a different version of what happened while she was in his care. He said that she stated she started stabbing Jeff while he was asleep. Which kind of makes sense, right? This expert says that Susan was in a fog when he treated her and that she was like still in fear at the time that Jeff was still alive, and that if he would have been called to the stand, he would have supported her defense that her erratic behavior is typical of a battered woman, which, I mean, that like supports what I believe, you know, that she snapped after years of abuse, you know, but her attorneys just did not want him to say anything differing from the statement she had given police. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think what happened is either he was asleep or it was something like the version of what Kelly Siegler presented in court, where she tricked him into being tied up, and that she was just really afraid to tell the truth. But I don't think she cared much about the $200,000 because she wasn't in debt. People that are into murder for the insurance money are almost always in financial despair.
Right.
Like, it comes out of desperation. I think she was abused and she lost it like Betty Broderick. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. Very, very bitter Betty.
Sometimes I do believe that a lot of times it is for the life insurance policy, but I think there's plenty of times where it's like, that's not what it is. She's not like.
And $200,000 is just not that much money.
No, it's not. And so, you know, what's going to get you by for a second, but
yeah,
it's not going to make or break you for life.
Yeah.
Couple mil, then I would
different
have said,
story.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So the jury, I think, maybe thought something similar because instead of life, she got 25 years in 2004. So Susan appealed her case based on the whole bringing the bed into the courtroom thing as being overly prejudicial to the jury. Okay.
Okay.
And ineffective counsel because they didn't call that battered woman's expert. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I get that. One thing she did have going for her this time was Jeff's ex testified on Susan's behalf as to how abusive Jeff was. She was brave and she certainly did not have to come forward and relive all the shit with Jeff. And Susan was grateful, but this chick was not a great witness. She was just maybe too nervous or something. She kept interrupting the lawyers and the judge. At one point, Susan's attorney had to take her out of the courtroom and lecture her, like, get your shit together.
Yeah.
And then brought her back in to resume, and she had to apologize to the court.
Yikes.
Yeah. So that was kind of sad. So her new attorney called her old attorneys, right, because of the ineffective counsel thing, to the stand and questioned them about why they sucked so bad at defending Susan. It's like awkward, right?
Dude, it is awkward because you're like, if they have ego, they're going to be like, we didn't suck. But if they believe her and feel for her, then they need to say they suck.
I mean, hello, they were up against Kelly Siegler is all they had to say. Who doesn't suck against her?
So what'd they say?
They said that they would do it the same all over. They definitely had ego.
They always do that. It's rarely that you'll find somebody be like, it, you know, if I had it today, I would have done this or whatever. Because then it makes them seem like, how are they going to get another case? They've already, like, they can't do that for their own reputation.
I guess. Okay. So this appeal hearing was a big gamble because they re-sentenced her. Luckily,
I'm surprised she even got another hearing for this.
I know, right? Luckily for Susan, it worked out in her favor because she could have either been let go,
gotten more,
or gotten life.
Yeah.
And been like, shoots, 25 years ain't so bad, right?
Yeah.
But although girlfriend did not walk out like Cosby, she got 5 years shaved off her sentence and the possibility of parole.
So is she free?
So in 2012, after Susan's appeal, Lifetime made a movie about her called The Blue-Eyed Butcher. I watched it, and it does portray Jeff as a bad guy, but it also portrays Susan as like a conniving seductress, and it plays off the whole stupid topless dancer thing, which I think is like so like cheesy.
8 weeks of her life.
Cheesy and irrelevant. I mean, topless dancing, that's not even all the way, you know, stripping. Like, woohoo.
No.
Okay, whatever. Okay. So Susan gave an interview for 48 hours while she was awaiting her second sentence. And prison had taken its toll. Because like I always say, blondies don't do well in the clink.
No.
She got the whole mousy brown hair thing going and she's pale. It's not cute at all. She had been denied at all of her parole hearings until recently in July 2020. She was released after serving 16 years of her sentence. She is now 44 years old and a free woman. Yeah.
She was young when she did that. And did you find her?
No. Okay. There's a news clip of her. I mean, she's out of the game, right? She went in before like social media. I'm sure she's not in a big rush to like get a Facebook. Right. Okay. So her children, who are the real victims of all of this, having lost, you know, two parents.
Totally. I thought that.
They're now being raised by Jeff's family.
So they probably hate her.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what I wonder. I wonder if they will ever sympathize with their mother and want a relationship with her. But I don't imagine they will because they've got like Jeff's dad who was like, my son was a pillar of the community. Awesome.
Yeah.
A plus.
100%. Like, they're just, I mean, for 16 years, like they're adults. Her kids are adults.
Yeah.
So.
So I don't, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, it would be, this case would be a lot less complicated if she just hadn't stabbed him so many damn times. It's like so extra.
It's extra.
Right? So upon her release, Susan's family released a statement that said, we think she's paid her debt to society and deserves a second chance. So news cameras caught her outside her mother's house and she pleaded with them, like, please don't do this to my family. She was asking for privacy. And I hope she gets it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like we've come a long way, right? I mean, I don't feel like they would make a movie about her life and call it The Blue-Eyed Butcher and play up the topless dancing like in this day and age. But that's where we were.
They probably would.
You think?
I think because that's like, what do they say? Sex sells. That's just, it's
just
it's
what they
still
do.
Does. Come on.
Okay. Well,
I mean, hello, they made that movie, The Hustler.
I know.
With J-Lo.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, wow. I mean, there's so, you know, it's like there's so many other ways to go about, you know, getting rid of somebody, maybe not killing them. Maybe just like leaving his ass, moving away.
Yeah, I do feel, I am glad that she's not spending the rest of her life in prison. I do think she had, you have to serve some time.
Yeah.
Right. I think she should have pleaded insanity, maybe got herself like 10 years or something.
Yeah. That's 16. Fine. She's still young. She's 44. She could go marry, have like a whole happy life.
Well, she needs to go get her hair did.
I'm sure she has. I'm sure she got her hair done. Spray tan.
Botox. Thrive Botox. Mascara. Boom.
Thrive mascara.
Yeah.
Some Viore clothes.
Magic spoon to take off the extra pounds.
Yes. Some magic spoon.
New strawberry and banana flavor. I'm really excited about it.
Taking her care of vitamins every day.
Boom.
Because it's so easy. Mm-hmm. Well, is that a WAP?
That's a WAP.
All right. Well, that was extra.
Was extra.
It was extra, well, to say the least. Okay, we don't have a lot of shout outs because it is Monday and our
and no one loves us.
Episode just came out and it's a federal holiday. So all you guys are probably not driving to work and listening to us.
Right.
So anyways, I do have one from, and I was going to repost this actually, but I haven't gotten a chance to today yet. But I want to shout out Wendy and Audrey Capo. They both gave us a little shout today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you guys can, please rate us on Apple Podcasts if you have not already. Follow us on Facebook, Housewives of True Crime Group, or Housewives of True Crime, or on Instagram, Housewives of True Crime. We also have YouTube. It's HWTC. And we also have a Patreon if you want to listen to us even more every single week on Thursdays. And that's at patreon.com/ Housewives of True Crime. I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Clink, clink, guys.
Clink, clink.